This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot. This week, I am joined by the one and only Luke.
In and around.
Yeah. You're everywhere.
In and around your ears. Let's do this. Intimates. It's been a bit of a break for me from intimates as well.
That's okay, but we can get you straight back in there. You don't have to be nervous, Luke. It's okay.
Just like, a little bit. You know, it's been a while. You get a bit sort of nervous about
yeah,
how
for
it's
sure.
going to go.
But we'll break you in. Okay. Me and the listeners.
Great. Ooh, a group session. Let's do it.
This week on the show, we want to talk about asymmetrical multiplayer video games.
Yes.
And what asymmetrical multiplayer video games are is when, rather than your standard kind of competitive video game where you'll go in on a perfectly even playing field with another player, these are games that are just designed so that that's in the entire opposite of that situation. So it might be something where you go in and it's like a 1v5 situation where the one person is considerably stronger than the five, or it just might be another situation where there are two people going against each other, but they have two completely different goals in mind and they control in two completely different ways. So, you know, they try to be as balanced as they can, but they're not this perfectly aligned situation where most games are.
Yeah, it's certainly something that developers have played with more in recent years. I think that, you know, obviously online gaming has made it much more achievable to have these styles of games because, I mean, multiplayer gaming online really has only been a big thing for the last, I don't know, 10 years, you might say, being generous in terms of shooters and stuff like that.
For sure.
So, I mean, yeah, people are still figuring out how to do it properly, but we have seen a few games really make an effort to try and make it work. It doesn't always work, because I think that it is so niche and unique that, you know, it's not simple like Call of Duty where you can jump in and have 8v8 team deathmatch, or, you know, PUBG, it's like 100 players. It's simple, you know, whilst asymmetric, you've got some, usually in my experience, and the one that comes to mind in a big way, probably the biggest mainstream isometric game that I can think of that came out was Evolve.
Asymmetric, sorry. Yeah.
I knew in my head what I meant. But yeah, Evolve, when that came out about, you know, was it 3 years ago now, I think, or thereabouts, maybe four?
Maybe even more, yeah.
Yeah, when that released, it was such a cool idea. I mean, when that came out, I hadn't heard of that before, of a game where you've got one player is the monster, and then you've got all these players who are the, like, four players, or was it five? I can't remember.
It could have been four
or five.
I think
it was 1v5.
It has been a while now, yeah.
It's been a while. And you had these players that were the hunters, and, you know, the idea was the monster would have to try and get stronger and eat things to grow bigger while the hunters are chasing them down, trying to capture and kill them. And, of course, you can kill the hunters as well and fight back because you're a monster. I always found that so interesting, and I was so hyped for this game, and, you know, for many, many reasons, unfortunately, the game was a financial failure in the long run. Eventually going free-to-play, it's now free-to-play, you can try it. But, I mean, a cool idea, though. Didn't execute the best way, but a really cool idea.
See, I started playing Evolve when it became free-to-play on the PC, and I really liked it. Like, it was a really fun concept, but I kind of understood why maybe it didn't snowball into something bigger than it currently was, because those kind of games, like, it's such a balancing act, right? As soon as, like, the monster feels slightly too powerful, it feels terrible to play as the hunters, and vice versa. It feels terrible to play as the monster if the hunters are just slightly too powerful and you've got nothing. Like, you're running around constantly getting snared or stopped or killed, and it's like, what's the point in this, right? So it's this huge challenge on the developers to be able to create this kind of asymmetric experience, but to have it be fair and fun for both sides.
Yeah, because if it's just, you know, 5v5 or whatever, you can just duplicate that to everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone has the same. There's no need to change anything.
Yeah,
you're all on
an
even playing field.
If you fail at Call of Duty, it's on you, right? Like, everyone has access to the same loadout. Everyone has access to the same weapons. Everyone's on an even playing field. It's just about your personal skill or potentially what you've unlocked as well within the game.
Yeah.
But asymmetric games, that's on the developer. If something doesn't feel right, if something doesn't feel powerful, like, that can stop you from playing a game immediately and not going back to it, even if they, you know, repatch and balance it later.
Yeah, and the problem with Evolve, which also is a bit of a problem with Friday the 13th, which came out last year, and that game has some glitches and some funny things with it as well, that are different reasons why it maybe wasn't so successful. But, you know, in Friday the 13th, you don't really want to play as the running, cowardly teenager. You want to play as Jason, right? You want to play as the one that's going to get the sword, the machete, and cut their fucking head off. Like, yeah. You don't want to be a running teenager who's rummaging through drawers and crying and tripping over nothing as you're running away from Jason. You want to be Jason. And in Evolve, I wanted to be the monster all the time. I didn't want to be a hunter. That's boring. Hunter.
Yeah, but there is something about that kind of cooperative experience where I kind of like that too. Like, I want to play both sides because you are on a team and you're overcoming adversity, really. Because there is this thing that is super powerful. And individually, that's just going to kick your ass. Like, it doesn't matter. But if you're really smart about your movements and your actions and your coordination with your team, all of a sudden, those things can come together and you can overcome that adversity. So, Like, I hear what you're saying, and I totally agree. Sometimes I just want to feel like a monster, you know, knocking people over. But sometimes, like, it's really fun to play that flip side, too.
But in an online space, it's hard to guarantee you're going to have a team that you can work with, unless they're friends, you know. And you can play a game, and you'll have half the team won't use headsets, or half the team will just be terrible, or they'll be in a different country and have really bad lag.
Yeah, you don't want to be teaching people how to play your game while you're also trying to play your game to the best of your capability.
So I think that's another reason why this game is might not sell so well, because it's not just me that has to really buy it, because I'm playing it by myself. Really, if I want to get the best experience, I need to buy it, you need to buy it, and three other friends need to buy it as well. And when we're all playing together, it works in perfect harmony, but then life gets in the way. How often do you all play together? And it makes these specific asymmetric games quite daunting for me, because I don't think I have the time commitment to properly learn it.
But of course, not all asymmetric games are these cooperative experiences either.
Right.
There's a new game. Well, it's not new. This game has been in development for 10 years. It's finally hitting Steam Early Access.
You're so excited by this
and
game.
And I'm super excited. It's a game called Spy Party. We mentioned it on our live radio show a few days back. But also, this Spy Party, it's a game where essentially you're at a party and you're either playing as a spy or you're playing as a sniper. And the spy is just walking around this party. A bunch of NPCs are there doing basic interactions, talking with guests, looking at statues, sipping your wine,
as whatever. You do at a fancy party.
As you do at a fancy party. And you have to blend in with the NPCs, because as soon as the sniper knows that that's the spy, that's the player character, the sniper shoots them and kills them. So you as a spy, not only do you have to blend in, but you have to fulfill a certain set of tasks that are handed to you, and you've got to do it within a certain time limit. So it's this really interesting take on the asymmetric multiplayer genre, because you have two different people performing two completely different tasks, but they're polar opposites of each other, right? The spy has to succeed, and for the spy to succeed, the sniper is failing, and vice versa. So it's really cool asymmetric multiplayer, and as long as they can find a way to balance that and have both roles capable of, you know, having the same chance of winning, then you have a really interesting situation that's quite unlike many other video games.
Yeah, I think that's why these games are so appealing, because I think that too many multiplayer games, and too many games in general, they rest on their laurels and do the same multiplayer modes over and over again that you expect. So they do things like, oh, it's a team deathmatch. And nowadays, it's like, ooh, it's a 100-player battle royale, and they're all kind of feeling a bit samey. So when you have a game that is multiplayer and has a new idea and a new concept that you haven't seen before, and it changes things, it is exciting, because I think we're at a point with games now where we don't want the same again. We want innovation. We want new things and exciting concepts. And that's what Spy Party sounds like to me. It sounds like they've really made an effort to make it unique, which is so huge when you have 50 shooters coming out every couple of months, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, so obviously we're always all for people doing unique and different things, and hopefully Spy Party takes off in a pretty big way. I'm kind of expecting it to be honest.
Is it coming to consoles as well?
We're talking about a game that has gone from, you know, the beginning of its life cycle to not even early access yet, and that's taken 10 years. Like, this is something developed as a passion project by one dude and his team. Like, he has like an artist who's he's brought on now, so this could be a very long time coming. But so I wouldn't count on it.
It could get big, right? And then
I really hope it will, because obviously Steam has such a large user base that all of a sudden these games that were available previously in alpha just off the dude's website, all of a sudden huge amounts of people can start playing it, as long as it's a fun thing that people can pick up and enjoy. But there are, you know, there have been commercially successful asymmetric games in the past. Not stuff so much like Evolve, but stuff like Left 4 Dead, for instance, had this... The multiplayer mode of that game allowed you to play as either the infected or the survivors.
Yeah.
So obviously the infected in that game play a completely different role to the survivors. You're not just like gunning down zombies and trying to get to the end. You're actually setting up ambushes and you're controlling these zombies and trying to target, you know, you find the player who's by themselves and you target them and you pin them down and you try to kill them before people can rescue them. And you're also working together with your other zombie pals because, you know, just like it's a co-op game as a shooter, it's a co-op game as this like... kind of first-person melee zombie thing.
I mean, you're a zombie. You got to use your brain, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's coordination and strategy, just like it is on either side, but you have totally polar opposite roles and completely different kind of gameplay to facilitate, you know, the role you're playing.
That's funny, because one of my fondest memories of the Wii U, and I know the Wii U was a failure for the most part. It had some great games on it, but ultimately didn't do very well. But the Wii U came with a game called Nintendo Land, which was like the Wii Sports kind of pack-in title for the Wii U, which was supposed to use the tablet in kind of cool ways to show you how it worked in a gaming context. And it did an okay job of that, but it had these multiplayer games in it that were asymmetrical as well. And so you had one game, for example, where... one of you played as the ghost, and you had on the screen, the person holding the tablet could see where all the players were and themselves as the ghost. On the main screen that everyone else is looking at, the other four players with their controllers, they couldn't see where the ghost was, they could just see each other. And the only way the ghost was visible is if they shined their torch on the ghost, right? So the controller would rumble if the ghost was nearby. And so as the one player playing as a ghost, you have to be tactical in terms of thinking about where you can move in this maze to try and catch people off guard and eventually grab them and kill them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And had another one as well where you were playing as this character trying to chase down everyone dressed as Mario. It's called Mario Run. So you're like hunting down Mario and trying to get him, and everyone, you can see where they are on your screen, but they can't see where you are on their screen. So it had a really cool party atmosphere, and it was the best way that I've seen them sort of incorporate this 1v4 mechanic into a game. And it was so fun. We spent hours and hours at parties just playing these games on repeat, taking in turns being the ghost or whatever.
Yeah.
We had a great time because it was so different from what everyone else was doing.
And for all the Wii U's failures, like, obviously one of the big things it did right was it used its technology in interesting ways, right? So you had this gamepad, and no other console has this, so Nintendo found a way to utilize the gamepad in a unique way, right? So they say one player has the gamepad, everyone else is just using the screen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're using this technology in a way... like, you've got a game that couldn't possibly be emulated onto any other console or a PC or anything,
right?
Because it's so unique in what it's doing, which is really cool for Nintendo to do that. And hopefully we see more of it in the future.
Well, unfortunately, what Nintendo did then, no other developer really made the effort to do with their games. And ultimately, the Wii U technology, for what it was, went unused. And that was the problem with the console and one of the reasons why it failed. Beyond the marketing and the rest of it that was all muddled.
Yeah. Now, I never played Nintendo Land, but it actually sounds similar to, like, mini-games within Mario Party. Because occasionally you'll have those 1v3 mini-games within Mario Party, and all of a sudden that is, like, it's a small part of that game, but obviously that's an asymmetrical part of the game where it's, like, one person is controlling the crane and trying to pick up the other three who are just, like, squirming around.
In steel tester balls, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So there's obviously a whole bunch of different minigames, and it kind of just feels like they've expanded on one of those and really run with it and utilize the Wii U's technology in a way to make it really special.
Yeah. As silly as it is, that's my bright spot for the Wii U, was playing that game with my friends. A pack-in title, like with Wii Sports. That was like the highlight for the Wii, you know?
Do you see asymmetrical games like moving forward in the future, or is this always going to be something niche that occasionally comes around here and there?
I think for the reasons I said before, it's always going to be niche, because to coordinate a good team... it takes time and effort and money, and I don't have any of those things. I think that people don't. You know, I think that people don't want to have a game where five people buy it. I think it's not asymmetric, really, but the A Way Out, the fact that you can buy that game and then you can download it for free and I can play it with you, that's so clever because that instantly broadens your audience.
Yep.
I think if, like, Friday the 13th, I don't know if you play it and, like, your four friends can then download it for free because then four people are getting it for free. But, I mean... something like that. Some sort of token of like, hey, you can play this with me because it's designed to be a team game.
Well, they often
game.
Do sell cooperative games in like a 4-pack or whatever and you'll get a bit of a discount. So like doing yeah. that kind of stuff, yeah, maybe.
But it needs to do more though, is what I'm saying. I think A Way Out did it right. I think if it could do that in a different sort of way for these asymmetric games, like that Spy one, I know it's one developer and we should all pay him all the money in the world because he sounds very talented. But yeah, if it's a 2-player game, if I buy it, you should get it too, and then we can play it together. You know what I mean? Like some sort of...
Oh, if he did it that way, no doubt there'd be more people playing.
Yeah.
But whether or not he makes more money, that's another question.
And that's the question. 2-for-1 is a good way to get people into it, but then you're losing so much money if they were going to buy it.
But also, if two people are playing and really loving your game, shouldn't they both have paid for it anyway?
Yeah. Maybe it's a trial.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that they lock out so much of their audience by selling it to individuals
it's a
and
risk.
Requiring a team.
I think we've seen in the past how developers have taken that risk, like Turtle Rock did with Evolve, and they said, oh, no. We kind of failed.
Yeah.
So I think the future of asymmetric, if there is a future of it, is these smaller titles. So stuff like Spy Party is going to do well for itself regardless because this is a passion project by one dude who hasn't sunk his whole, like, hasn't sunk millions of dollars into it, right? So at the end, the risk reward is much, you know.
I think it's far more likely that game developers who have multiplayer components in their games will just add asymmetric as a mode. Like, they'll have
right,
one mode in
fun?
It. Yeah.
It's like Assassin's Creed Brotherhood.
Right, exactly. Like, if you have Gears of War, but instead of having it 4v4 like it normally is or whatever, you all of a sudden have one person as the Locust King and 5 players as the Gears. Mm. And then that Locust King has different powers and stuff like that, and it's a bit of a different sort of battle. Incorporated into existing IPs, added as an extra mode, as DLC, stuff like that. That's what they should be doing. I think that a standalone is way too risky.
It could be an incredible expansion for Vermintide 2, which I've been playing heaps of, where they could do that exact Left 4 Dead setup, and you can control the kind of special rat infected or whatever they're called in that game, right? And all of a sudden, you've got this really competitive multiplayer mode where it's super fun because... You know, the AI can be predictable, but human players, like, who knows, right? They can come up with crazy strategies that an AI never could and coordinate in a way that makes that game all the more challenging. So that would be just a really fun expansion and something they could look in at for the future.
I think it's a smart way to go. And then you've tested it, and if it goes really well and it becomes your most played mode, then maybe you do a standalone spin-off or something.
Sure.
Because then you know it's worked. But I think just to start off with that, especially a new IP like Evolve, to start from scratch with an asymmetrical style, it was such a risk, and it didn't pay off for them. And it's a shame, because the game itself had some really cool elements to it, well-crafted, looked beautiful, cool character design, soundtrack. It had good things, but damn, like, just what a shame, you know? So I think that if they do an extra mode on some existing titles, that's probably the best way to dip your toe in and see if it works.
Yep. Totally agree. Unfortunately, that is all the time we've got, though. You guys have been listening to Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes.
Thank you, Luke, for joining me.
You are so welcome.
Oh, I feel very welcome. And make sure you join us next week as we keep getting more and more intimate every time.
Oh, yeah, we do.
Yeah.
This has been a Joycast of Checkpoint for Joy 94.9. If you like this podcast, please rate us on iTunes and Stitcher.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.